The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Parshas Bo. The Jewish people are just about on their way out. And we have a number of mitzvahs that are the first mitzvahs of what it means to be a Jewish nation. Now we have to distinguish the difference between being a Jewish individual and a Jewish nation, because that's what this book is all about, and that's what one of the most important themes of Judaism is, that you're a Jewish nation, and you must function as a nation, and you must imbue national existence with holiness. Right? Not just individual existence. Religions are based on individuals, and that's very nice. Right? But where Judaism goes past that is imbuing national existence with holiness. Right? There's a difference between being an individual that stands in relationship to God, and therefore that individual takes on a certain level of godliness. Right? If my personal definition is determined by my relationship with God, that would mean that my personal definition includes God. That means there's something godly about me. Right? But to take it the next step, and to create a nation that stands in relationship to God, which would mean that its personal definition, its national definition, includes God, which means that the Shekhinah is imminent within the national, on the national level. This is what this book is all about. Right? The first book, Genesis, is the development of the relationship and the establishment of identity in direct relationship to God, an identity whose definition is a function of relationship with God and therefore includes godliness. The next book is establishing a nation that stands in relationship to God. Right? And that's really on the individual level, Judaism is quite unique religiously, but on a national level, it just goes beyond anything that exists in the world. Right? That the old saying of what is to Caesar, let be to Caesar, and what is to God, let be to God, right? That's not Jewish. Right? Where you aspire to a separation between church and state is precisely the antithesis of Judaism. Judaism believes that the state must exist in the context of a relationship with God also. Right? And questions of agriculture are not questions just for farmers. They're questions for people who believe in God. Right? And politicians and their questions are not simply questions for politicians, but these are questions of a religious nature. Right? Economics must be within the context of a relationship with God. All that is what the nation of Israel and what it means to live in Eretz Israel and build a nation on its land is all about. So we have now here the birth of a nation, different from the birth of an individual Jew called Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Right? We're now talking about a whole new level, right, in what's called the indwelling spirit of God on earth. Because one of the fundamental mystical principles in Judaism is the gradual revelation of the immanent divinity within the world. And it starts with Abraham as he's able to draw within to himself divinity, right, through his relationship with God. Pharaoh seeks to deify himself through challenging, right, and denying relationship with God. Judaism believes one reaches a sense of godliness through a relationship with God. So, the Jewish people are just about ready to go. And what is the first mitzvah they get? Right. We just finished, or we've just been told, the upcoming plague of the firstborn, the death of the firstborn, and God has announced that the Jewish people will go out, their enemies will give them all their riches, and that itself is a testimony, a demonstration of the fact that the Jewish people are the conduit for blessing in the world by returning, so to speak, their blessings to the Jewish people And God restored the chen to the Jewish people, the chen that Yosef had. The recognition of the Jew's position as the provider in the world. But now the next step is chapter 12. And you have to appreciate that the theme of Shemot is the birthing of a nation. And you might say that the Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, is mamish like a woman giving birth. Right? Mamish like a woman giving birth. The whole process, I would say probably, if I knew it well, the whole process of conception, and you know, I remember meiosis, mitosis, I remember from biology, you know, the breakdown, it would completely correlate to everything that was happening in the story. Because the whole story is, well, I will make a separation between you and the Jews, I will make, and the Jews becoming more and more separate and in their own reality, and they're actually living in Egypt, yet somehow they are entering into a completely different dimension, and what happens around them in no way happens to them. Right? That's the amazing theme of the story. So now the first mitzvah that the Jewish people as a people get is Kiddush HaChodesh. And this is chapter 12. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon. And God said to Moses and Aaron, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. Now why does it say in the land of Egypt? In distinction to the other mitzvot, which were at Sinai, right? Or which were at Arvot Moav, the plains of Moav, which we'll talk about. So there's something unique. This is the first mitzvah they get. And it's crucial to the Jews in Egypt as the prerequisite and the prelude to the going out of Egypt. So we'll have to understand what does the sanctification of the new moon, how is it representative of a new step for the Jewish people, the beginning of redemption, a sign of redemption. So, verse 2, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, this month is to you. Right? Which could be read, this month is yours. Rosh Chodeshim, the head of months. Rishon Hu, the first it will be, Lechem, to you, L'Chodshei Hashana, to the months of the year. Now on a technical note, what we're being taught over here, that the month of Nisan, which is the month of Passover, is the first month of counting for the Jews. Right? In other words, Nisan is called first month, and the month after is called second month, third month. The counting of the months go according to Nisan. Even though the counting of the year goes according to the month called Tishrei. And Tishrei is called the seventh month, and yet it's the first month of the year, which is a very strange thing that Jews do, right? That the seventh month of the year is the beginning of the year, right? But it's only the seventh of the month. So what's going on over here? So there are various precise understandings of the words. First of all, what does it mean, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem? This month is for you. Right? So the Sferno says, what does it mean for you? Right? It's yours. Right? Time is now yours. Why? Because before this time was not yours. Why was it not yours? Because you were slaves. Right? So this month is yours on a simple level. Without dealing with the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is a commandment to sanctify the new moon, which I'll describe in a second. It's your month. And the Ramban says, Nachmanides says, that this month is to you the first of months, the head of months, meaning, I mean, the Sforno is only dealing with the fact that what does it mean this month is for you? Right, so it means it's your time. Now you're a free man, you can do whatever you want with your time. Right? But now the Ramban takes the next step. What does it mean this month is for you, the head of months? This means that you'll start counting months from today. Right? Meaning Nisan is month 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You should know, until the Jewish people came out of Babylon, that is what they called the months. They had not had the name Nisan. You will not see those names like Tishrei, Nisan. These are Babylonian names of months that came out of the, came with the Jewish people out of Babylon. But until then, the Jewish people would say, first month. Just like we count the days. I mean, the Jewish people don't have anything called Sunday or Monday. It's first day, second day, third day, based on Shabbos. Right? Based on Shabbos. So the same idea with Shabbos, that we say the first day towards Shabbos, the second day towards Shabbos, and the counting is a way of remembering Shabbos and drawing Shabbos into our week. Right? That's a mitzvah, that you have to draw Shabbos into your week. How do you do it? By saying today's the first day, right, towards Shabbos, after Shabbos, you actually bring Shabbos into your consciousness. So too the Ramban says, according to the months, that we're going to now say, this month is second month to which month? Ah, the month that we got out of Egypt, the month of redemption. And therefore we will continually draw the memory of redemption into every month, okay? Into every month. But of course that's all very nice, but it must be deeper than that. I mean, what does it mean to draw the memory of redemption and miracle into the month? So, this brings us to the next dimension of this pasuk. Because from this pasuk we learn that Moses was given the first mitzvah. In terms of the first mitzvah to the Jewish people of the Torah mitzvah. Right? And what is that first mitzvah called? The sanctification of the new moon. We will no longer count the months according to the sun. So we are taught by the Chizkuni, this month is to you the head of months, right? Means to you and not to the non-Jews. To you and not to mankind until now, since the first man. Until now, every human being, even Jews, counted time according to the sun. And all of a sudden now, time will be according to the moon, meaning months. That's how it's done now. Yeah, like February, January is according to the movement of the sun. Yes. Everybody's been doing it until the sun. All of a sudden, boom, a whole new way of determining time. It's according to the moon. And the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is a very interesting mitzvah. When do we know it's the beginning of the month? It's when the moon just begins to have a little light. What? And you can see it. Which means that the moon is just beginning to receive the light of the sun and reflect it. Okay? That's the beginning. Right? Beginning is no longer anything to do with the sun for the Jews. I mean, not anything to do, because our year goes according to the sun. But our months go according to the moon. And how does the mitzvah go? You have to have two witnesses. And when it says, Achodesh Hazelechem, Rashi brings in, why say this month? So in oral tradition, it says that Moshe didn't understand what God was saying. So God pointed to the moon and said, when you see it look like that, that's the beginning of the month. I mean, you have to see it. I mean, to just talk about, yeah, there is, when it talks about the menorah also, that Moshe had to have a visual, right? So when it says, HaChodesh HaZeh, meaning not this month, but the renewal of that, meaning the moon, will be the beginning of your months. Right? HaChodesh meaning the renewal of moon rather than month, which Chodesh means renewal, which means month. So what does it mean? Two witnesses. You see, we would have in good old days, we had a Sanhedrin, we had a high court, and two witnesses would be out on the plain sitting there. Two people would just sit in there, and all of a sudden they would see. Right? Because they knew the new moon should be coming, you know. So all of a sudden, these two people would see just a sliver of light of the sun being reflected off of the moon. Right? If it was cloudy, problem, right? So what would happen? All of a sudden, they're looking out, and one says, hey, look! And what? Don't you see? Sliver, right? They jump on their camels or horses, or their Porsches, and they zip off into Jerusalem as fast as they can, so that they can be the first people to testify before the court that we saw the new moon. Now, it's not so simple. The court would say, well, what exactly did it look like? I mean, was it Swiss cheese, or was it cheddar? I mean, like, what did the moon look like? And they would have these incredible questions to make sure that they really saw it. And when they finally got that kind of testimony from the two witnesses, the court would say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. Sanctified, sanctified, sanctified. And zip, get out into the country, because today is the first day of the month. All right? They have to understand, these two people see this moon, get on their camel, start charging, right? And a camel, come on, let's go, we're late, right? Right, we gotta go, right? And they don't make it, right? They don't make it to the court on time. Or they get to court and the court says, well, you know, exactly what did you see? And the time is running out, the day is about to end, right? The sun's about to set and we haven't yet said today's the first day. So you know what that means? Right? The next day would be the new month. In other words, we always knew between two particular days that it would be the new month. I mean, it's not between 5 days. Right? It's either one of 2 days. Right? And that'll be determined whether someone sees it, someone testifies, they get it on time, and the court convening, right, successfully determines that this is a reliable source, and they say, that's it. And then boom, zoom. Right? Everyone's got to know quick. And that will be the new month. That's unbelievable. Sometimes, yes. Right? Sometimes you have two Rosh Chodesh. It's all because of this process that we no longer have. Well, it depends where the moon is rising. I mean, you know, different places in Israel, the moon is rising. You zip in there to quickly get there. There's clouds here. There's mountains there. Right? But you have to understand, every Jew felt this responsibility. Right? Boy, maybe tonight I'll see the moon. Right? Now zip into Jerusalem. You know, I mean, it's a really unbelievable consciousness to think about this and realize, what does that mean? Because what if they didn't make it? That would mean that the month would start tomorrow. Well, it's a big deal. Well, it's a big deal if the first holiday is Pesach. If the first holiday is Pesach, that will mean that either today, if I eat bread, I deserve the punishment of being cut off, or tomorrow. Can you imagine that? I mean, the laws of Pesach, which is the first holiday that's about to be presented, are so serious. If you have like a olive size of bread, you happen to eat it, boom, one of the most serious of punishments. And that could mean that it'll either be Wednesday or Thursday. And of course, zip, they'd have to tell everybody quickly to know when Pesach is starting. And they had time to do that. And it's unbelievable when you read the Gemara how they had this whole network of torches on mountains, right, that would go throughout the entirety of Israel, right? Zoom, a guy would go on a torch on a mountain, and a guy where on the watch waiting to, is it the first month, is it the first month, right, sees a torch, ah, light his torch, boom, and it goes throughout the entirety of Israel. It's kafaldic, you know? Boy, those are the good old days. Anyways, so what I want you to think about is, what does that mean? Why is that so important? Why does that set the tone of the birth of a Jewish people? Right? Because if we can crack open the meaning of Kiddush HaKodesh, the Gemara says that when a person, you know, we do Kiddush HaKodesh anyway. Right? It's an ongoing ceremony that the Jewish people do. You sanctify the new moon, you do this blessing. A couple of days after new moon, you know, it says that a person who blesses the new moon is as if has accepted the face of God. Why? Right? So, well, just to give you a little hint in the direction, right, this is the beginning of a completely new dimension for national existence. And Kiddush HaKodesh is crucial. And we'll have to try and figure out why would that of all mitzvahs be the first mitzvah.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.